You clock out, we clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
Welcome to this edition of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. With me today is Terrell Williams, not to be confused with Terrell Williams, from Cougar Access. How are you doing today, Terrell?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. The BYU football season is over halfway done. And, last week they played Wagner. A lot of people talking about the Wagner game were, might as well just play the high school game. I've seen that. I've seen people say it was really just a bye week. But the fact of the matter is BYU played a game, and I'm wondering what BYU fans could take away from the Wagner game and what we potentially learned from the Cougars against Wagner.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, with the Wagner game, BYU fans need to consider that we scheduled an opponent with Wagner in Missouri that we would have not been able to get without Wagner. And Missouri has won the SEC East the last 2 years in a row. So, they're having a down year this year, but when we scheduled that game, it was figuring to be maybe a top 10, top 20 matchup against Missouri. And that was looking really good for our strength of schedule. So Wagner was a necessary schedule. It was a necessary game for us to put on the schedule. There's a few things you can take from Wagner. It really comes down for me to depth. We saw some nice plays from some players we haven't had a chance to see get much playing time at certain positions. For instance, Michael Shelton at DB. He's normally playing the cornerback position, but he was playing a punt returner. And we saw some nice moves from Michael Shelton. Maybe in the future he gets some more playing time there. We saw a ton of Algie Brown, and then he cut his leg on that George Buchanan, which they need to push that thing back. But all in all, we saw a lot of potential out of the running game. We know Riley Burt, after his really exciting kind of had a couple really nice plays the week previous, wasn't able to go. Really see a lot of Nate Carter, and he's been much maligned up to this point, and rightfully so. He hasn't been able to be much of an impact player from his running back position, but he made some really nice plays in there, and he was able to get a chunk of yardage on a couple different plays where he really hit the hole hard, so you could see that he was taking it pretty seriously. The O-line did pretty well. I was pretty impressed with how they protected all season. I thought they've actually been one of the bright spots on BYU. Kind of the unsung heroes of the BYU football team. Tanner Mangum was fantastic as always. And we got to see a little bit of Bo Hodge throwing the rock, which was really cool to see because we've seen a lot of Bo's ability to run, but until the Wagner game, we hadn't seen much of his ability at all to pass the ball. And it does look like he's got a pretty good arm on him with some decent accuracy. So BYU can develop.
All right, Terrell, sorry, it seems like your phone dropped the call for a minute. You were talking to us about Bo Hodge and how he did against Wagner.
Yeah, sorry about that, T-Mobile service. Bo looked really good. We've seen his ability to run the ball. We even saw a nice little circle spin move right out of a video game against Wagner. But in the second half, we saw the coaches open up that playbook a little bit more, and we got to see his ability to throw the ball. And it looks like he's got a good arm on him, some decent accuracy, and he's going to have a quarterback in Bo Hodge to develop for the future. And it was cool to see Anai really change that playbook. Tanner comes in, he runs more of that pro-style offense as a pocket-passing quarterback. Bo comes in, and they kind of run the Taysom Hill package. A little bit of read option. He makes some nice throws on the slant, some in the post. In the second half, and you can see that he does have that athletic ability he was touted to have coming out of Kentucky. One other player I wanted to talk about was Trey Dye, running back out of Texas that BYU's had. His father, of course, the famous James Dye, who played on the 1996 Cougar Cotton Bowl team that went 14-1. That kid has got some great speed, 4.49 speed. He was really highly touted coming into BYU, and he had some big schools coming after him. But he did play running back, and so he's had a little bit of a transition. Talking to Margin Hooks, one of BYU's former wide receivers, number two all-time in BYU receiving yards, I believe when he finished his career at BYU, he made the point that with Trey Dye, fans can be really excited in the future. Right now, the BYU coaches are trying to get him, especially Robert Anai, as that inside receivers coach, to kind of get used to playing the slant as a wide receiver, playing in that slot and running slant routes, getting used to that position and potentially put him in special teams in the future. So BYU fans can expect more of him for his junior and senior season. I think we're going to see a little bit more of Trey down the road.
That's cool. So, I mean, pretty much the Wagner game really helped BYU fans get excited for what's to come after this year and knowing that there's some depth behind the first string.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I mean, obviously the season continues, and, you know, I was wondering if quickly you could give me a grade for the season up until this point and then kind of what you're expecting to see the rest of the season.
Yeah. You know, grading-wise, BYU's had one game where they just didn't look themselves, and they got smacked by Michigan 31-0. There was a lot of things Michigan threw at BYU they were not prepared for in that game, particularly physical defense from their corners playing man press to shut down BYU's wide receivers. I think that really caught BYU off guard. Tanner didn't look himself. The receivers didn't look themselves. It was kind of a bad game all around. Other than that game, UCLA, one-point loss to then number 10, UCLA, at their place in the Rose Bowl. And then you have, obviously, those two games with the two losses. Since then, BYU's put together a really good season. For my grading, I would give them a B-. I would say there's still room for improvement. Tackling was a big issue in the beginning of the season. I think we've made some improvements there. Hogre Lange was injured early on in the season. As he's gotten healthier, he's made a big difference on that defense from his middle linebacker spot. And we've seen a lot more consistency in tackling out of the BYU defense. I think the running game is really coming into its own with Algie Brown. In the beginning of the season, BYU fans had some pretty big hesitancy and with the run game. Losing Taysom Hill, your number one, I mean, he's really your number one rushing option on the team, losing Jamal before the season even begins. And then you bring in your second and third string running backs. You obviously lose Adam Hine for about 4 weeks with his injury against UCLA. And it's just looking pretty dire for the run game, not being able to generate much push from the O-line. But they've made some great adjustments. I mean, UCLA's got a really stout front seven, as does Michigan, of course. But since those two games, I mean, even in UCLA, Adam Hine went over 100 yards. The O-line's done a great job opening up holes, and we've seen that BYU has some really exciting running back potential in the future with Riley Burt, who's coming in and as a freshman, and he's played some. And then we also have Francis Bernard from Harriman High School, who's a stud, three-star running back there, who's really shown BYU a lot of power at that fullback position. Thus far, I would give BYU as a whole a B- on the season, and I think with potential games coming up against San Jose State and Missouri and Fresno State, finishing with Utah State, could really end on I wouldn't say special season. To me, a special season is one loss, you know, maybe two, but on this schedule, with two losses, you could almost put it up there at a special season if BYU finishes in the top 15 coming into next year's gauntlet of the schedule.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I look at BYU's schedule, I really see two more big games coming in the Missouri game, even though they're down as an SEC opponent who looks to have at least a decent defense, and the Utah State game. Which of those games do you think will play, you know, would you define as a bigger game to end the season?
Before the season began, I think everyone would agree Missouri. I mean, they're coming off two SEC East championships, showing a vaunted front seven, really physical corners, big, tall, physical wide receivers, and Matty Mock, who had all the hype coming into the season before last, and then last year kind of sputtered a little bit. As of right now, what Utah State did to Boise State was shocking. I mean, they dominated that game. They forced a lot of turnovers, but their defense looked great against Utah as well. been losing that game, I believe, 24-14. So they've looked pretty stout in their whole defense and offensively, losing Chucky and being able to regroup and rally around the next guy, which has been very impressive. Right now, with Utah State obviously having their slip up last week and not looking like the same team, I have to go with Missouri. I think the reason why is you're flying across the country. You're going to be in Kansas City to play that game. I believe it's at Arrowhead Stadium where the Chiefs play. And that is going to be it's going to be tough. Missouri has a great defense. Offensively, they have looked underwhelming, very underwhelming. But they've still got the talent. They just haven't been able to put it together. And being an SEC team, you do have the depth. So if they're able to put things together, put together a good streak this week, coming into that Missouri game in a couple weeks, I could just see that would be potentially the toughest game on BYU's schedule. Not to take a knock at the Aggies, but we just don't know what to expect from Utah State going into that game in Logan.
Yeah, I think these next couple weeks of Mountain West play will really help the Aggies establish who they're going to be after a roller coaster ride the last 2 weeks. You mentioned it potentially being a special season, depending on how you want to define it. How do seasons like this really affect the recruiting trail in regards to BYU football?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, we talked to so many. I've had the opportunity to talk to so many recruits, both in-state and out-of-state guys, three-star wide receiver Zach Farrar, who's trained with Margin Hooks in Texas, and Charleston Rambo, a four-star receiver for 2017 BYU's offered, and Sione Hamblee-Lund from Brighton, a stud four-star linebacker and running back. Talking to all these guys, the Keaton Torres and BYU's All-American kicker that committed up at Wasatch High School, Skylar Southam, all these guys – the momentum is generated when BYU is winning. And even though that Nebraska win isn't looking too hot right now, it still opens the year on such a positive note. I mean, all the exposure with ESPN and, all the praise coming Tanner Mangum's way, and rightfully so, he's been an incredible freshman. And I don't use that word lightly. I mean, incredible for a football player, but for him to come in and play the way he has, it shows you what kind of mindset he's got. That's generated so much momentum for BYU. And even when they have their slip up against Michigan, you got all these players contacting myself, and I'm sure Guy Holliday, who we've talked to, the wide receiver coach for BYU, and Mark Batuaya, the running backs coach, just getting blown up with recruits contacting them, telling them how badly they want to play for BYU, because the future is very bright. So I think recruits can see that. And I think BYU banding together, had they had a slip up against Cincinnati or lost that close game to ECU, if Tanner wasn't able to come back and we had to lean on Bo, it could have dealt a pretty hard blow to BYU's recruiting. Not to say it wouldn't have made kids want to go there, but it would have killed some of the momentum. So for right now, I think BYU's sitting in a great place. If they could somehow finish the season with two losses, go into a bowl game against a quality Pac-12 team and come out with a win, it would mean so much going into next year's schedule and possibly pick up some of these really good three-star, four-star recruits, both in-state and out.
Okay, I mean, talking about in-state recruiting, I've seen it from, both sides of the spectrum of BYU and Utah fans and the teams battling for in-state recruits. How do you feel BYU is doing on an in-state recruiting basis?
I think BYU has made a greater emphasis this year. I think people like Brandon Gurney have kind of highlighted this in some of their Twitter comments, and a few other people, that when BYU had their recruiting coordinator, Jeff Martson, he was really focused, having come from some out-of-state programs, some pretty big out-of-state programs in Alabama and a few others, to focus on kids that were outside of the state of Utah. And I think this was also highlighted by Hans Olsen and Christian Cox on KSL when they talked about how in-state recruits at the skill positions in particular have been somewhat disappointing. Wide receivers, and they were highlighting why Britton Covey wasn't pursued more quickly or in the first part by BYU and how Utah was able to secure him. And they make a good point. Some of these skill position players just haven't panned out. And we have some great skill position players right now in four-star wide receiver Simi Fehoko from Brighton High School, who's a Stanford commit. Hopefully one of these in-state schools, BYU, could flip him, but it sounds like he's pretty solid to Stanford. And some of the other skill position players, like Sione Heimoli-Lund at running back, it's been tough sledding in the past because BYU really wasn't focusing with Martin so much on in-state recruits. Coming into this year, him leaving for Colorado State, that's really changed. And you've seen BYU place a much greater emphasis on local recruits, going to all the local games. We went to the Brighton-Bingham game, and I saw Guy Holiday, Mark Atuwaya, Nick Howell, Steve Kafusi was there. I mean, they were all there to turn out for that game because they recognized if you can get some of that talent from Brighton and Bingham, those are gold mines. So I think they're making a greater emphasis. I still think there's greater inroads to be made there. I think that over the next couple of years, they'll make that progress to get the best in-state talent. Because if you look at it, we've lost, as the state of Utah as a whole, D1 colleges, Utah State, Utah, and BYU, we've lost a lot of good in-state talent. Porter Gustin, five-star linebacker from Salem High School, he goes to USC. And some of the other kids last year that were at the top of the recruiting list went to USC, and they went to different colleges. So it would be nice to see these in-state kids stay here and help bolster these teams and their recruiting prowess as a whole. But I think BYU's on the right track. Talking to recruits, Nick Howell, give him a shout-out. Got to give Mark Atuwaya and Guy Holiday all shout-outs for how hard they've been recruiting these kids, texting them every day, trying to communicate every day with them. And I think we're on the up there.
Okay. I mean, the in-state battle will always be there. Something that will be new. I'm really curious to get your opinion on this. So I mentioned that the Utah and BYU fighting over in-state players. You know, something I've noticed in social media specifically is rivalry banter getting more and more, for lack of a better word, salty and heated.
A little uncivil. Yeah.
Do you think next year BYU and Utah actually playing a game will maybe actually help tone things down somewhat?
That's a great question. I do. I actually do. I think because the mystery won't be there. You'll know which team has the best team next year. I think coming into the year, things looked like, I mean, for Utah, with Travis Wilson and obviously bringing him back as a senior, and he's been inconsistent at times, but having that senior leadership and obviously having Booker as an All-American type running back in the backfield, they knew they were going to be good. Their defensive line and their offensive line have been stout. The USC game was a little bit different, but that was due to turnovers. In my opinion, I think next year there will be that kind of there's been a lot of angst from fans, even the fans who like, hey, we don't want to play this rivalry. And, you know, it's there's too much bad blood. I think that bad blood will start to simmer down a little bit. There's always going to be the fans who are trying to create that and are trying to foster that kind of an environment. But I believe the majority of the fans are very level-headed. They respect the other university. They respect the talent and the coaching at the other university. And they see that this game needs to be played. All of the teams need to play each other, in my opinion. Utah State, Utah, and BYU, they need to play each other every year so that we have that kind of king of the mountain in Utah. And lately it's been University of Utah football. I mean, they've been the marker for the last, you know, in my opinion, Utah State, Utah, and BYU, they need to play each other every year so that we have that kind of king of the mountain in Utah. And lately it's been University of Utah football. I mean, they've been the marker for the last, you know, especially this year and last year, they've been really good, particular. It'll help fans calm down a little bit, and it'll help create a little bit more of a realistic perspective instead of an idea that your team's better because, you know, you beat this team by 14 and the other team only beat them by 24 or beat them by 24. So, I mean, if you beat a team by 24 and the other team only beats them by 14, you're 10 points better. It's like illogical arguments. The only way to settle that is on the football field. So I think it'll be good.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, you know, I personally am more of a basketball guy. it's basketball season keeps getting closer and closer. So,
yes, it does.
yeah, and I really can't wait till college ball tips off. What are BYU basketball's expectations going into this year after a 25-10 year where they made the NCAA tournament?
I mean, last year, BYU fans can look on last year as, you know, you had a top-10 offense, and you're running and gunning, and you're one of the top offensive teams in the country, and that was really something you could lean on with the senior leadership of the all-time scorer at BYU and Tyler Hawes. And then you had Kyle Collinsworth really running the point guard show, opposed to Matt Carlino in the past or some of the other point guards BYU's had. I think last year was a disappointment. I mean, if we're going to be realistic, you know, you go into, you're one of the first four, we play that game, and, you know, you're up by 18 or 19 at halftime. You come out and you just can't play defense. No matter whether you're switching to a zone or you're going to man, it just wasn't working for BYU. And I think every BYU fan, majority of BYU fans realized we need to work on defense in the offseason. That's something we need to get better at. So Mark Pope leaves BYU for the job at Utah Valley University, and in comes Quincy Lewis, arguably the greatest head coach in Utah basketball history, who's established that Lone Peak pipeline for BYU, where they got Eric Mika and they got Hawes, and they obviously got Emery, who's on the team now, and these are top 100 ESPN recruits. So he comes in, and the way they won in high school is they played very grueling man defense. I mean, they're very physical. They cut off passing lanes. They were a stout defensive team, and that's why the Lone Peak won the national high school basketball championship. So, I mean, they were very legit. I think BYU fans can expect that. Talking to some of the people who've had a chance to actually practice with the team and have been refs for the team, they've told me that BYU's going to play a lot of man matchups because they've got the athletic ability to do it now. And that's going to be the real emphasis this year, even if they have to slow it down a little bit offensively. Not a bunch, but just a tad. They're going to put more emphasis on the defensive end. And I think fans have seen that with Utah. I mean, the last couple of years, Krstoviak comes in. He switches things around, plays a physical man defense. They win games by defense. And I think BYU's realized in order to get to that next level, they're going to have the offensive talent. They've got to bolster, they've really got to increase their defensive intensity. When you have players like Collinsworth, who's, I mean, just a triple-double king at BYU, I believe he had 6 last year, which set the record in NCAA basketball, and you've got scorers like Chase Fisher, and you've got Nick Emery coming off of his mission and having a little bit of time to get used to it and going over to Spain and those guys winning some games to get some confidence, you know your offense is going to click. It's going to happen. Is the defense. And BYU's got a great center. I'm really high on the center right now. And Kafusi, I really think he's got almost – I think he's NBA potential. I really do. And then you've got Nate Austin, who was injured last year. He's coming back, who's a real hustler, grabs rebounds. And the physical player, I mean, he's not built. You look at Austin, he's really skinny, but he's a hustler. He's got that mentality. And then you've got Alan Hansen, who they brought in, who's 7'3". I mean, name the last 7'3" guy at BYU. How tall was Sean Bradley? I mean, it's been a long time coming, and I think BYU fans are going to see a team that can protect at the rim, can play really good man defense, and are going to press a lot, and maybe even full court press. So I'm excited to see this BYU team, and expectations for me are to make it to the tournament, not as a first four, but maybe as a 7 seed, somewhere around a 7 to a 12 seed is my expectation. And if you can beat Gonzaga twice, I mean, really, you look at the schedule, you play Utah, you play Belmont. Those are two games right there. And I believe you're either going to play Auburn or New Mexico. Hopefully, I'm hoping New Mexico in that one because, you know, they're a great team in the Mountain West. If you can get through the non-conference schedule looking pretty good, because it's not that strong, it's a favorable schedule, you go into conference play feeling pretty good about yourselves.
Okay. I mean, excuse me. I mean, you know, coming into this year, you know, I think everyone's expecting some of the names you listed off in Collinsworth. The different juniors and seniors on the team to contribute. But there also seems to be a lot of young blood coming in. Who who do you think is going to be the biggest surprise for this BYU team?
You know, that's a great question. I mean, you got Jordan Chapman, who's back from his mission. He was the 4A state player in Washington for high school basketball. His dad, Jeff, played at BYU and was a fantastic player. You've got Nick Emery, who's coming off of his mission, and we've seen a little bit of Emery and the BYU Boom Shakalaka, and fans have been able to see his ball handling skills and his ability to stroke the three. I think those guys will be great. The one player I'm really high on right now is Jake Toulson. I believe he played his high school basketball in Arizona, and he actually competed against Peyton Dastrup, a power forward commit for BYU that's currently serving a mission, four-star guy, who committed to Ohio State and then decommitted. According to Peyton Dastrup, Jake Toulson is the dark horse of all the players. Yeah, the Eric Mika and all these other four-star guys that have come in, and T.J. Hawes, Nick Emery, Eric Mika, Peyton Dastrup, all these guys, Chapman, they say Toulson has that kind of potential at BYU. And when you've seen him play at Boom Shakalaka for fans that were there, and also seeing some of his highlights in high school and then some of the practice footage that Terry Nasha posts on Twitter, his potential is through the roof. He's got a beautiful stroke, great ball handling skills for his size. I think BYU's going to put him at the three. I believe he'll be a stretch three, or he'll be a three, and then he could play a little bit at the two, but I expect to see him at that small forward position. He's the guy this year I think is going to shock BYU fans. I think he's going to really have some great games, and he's a good defensive player, underrated there as well. So look out for Jake Toulson.
Cool. Well, thanks for hopping on with us, Terrell, for a little while to talk some BYU football and basketball. I do have one final question that I ask all of our guests. You know, call the show the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. So I'm wondering if you could give us a couple of your favorite spots to hit up for lunch down in Utah County.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I've got a few. I like Rib City and American Fork. I've given them a shout-out before. They got some great ribs. I served my mission in South Carolina, so I had some great barbecue there, and I got high standards. So they meet those standards. Five-star barbecue in Orem is really good as well. Sweet and Savory Cafe is also in Orem. It's kind of like a French cuisine meets American cuisine place, really good places to eat. Any one of those three I would highly recommend.
All right. Well, I will next time I'm in Utah County look up one of those. I am a huge barbecue fanatic myself, as my family, a lot of my family's from Texas, so we have some high gauges for what makes up good barbecue. But
you know, Southern barbecue, you call me and I'll go with you. We'll go together.
All right, sounds good. All right, well, thanks for coming on, Terrell, and we'll talk to you again throughout the rest of the football season and going into basketball.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. Have a great day.
This has been a Torn by Sports production.